This is made audiobook in MP3 of translated extracts from the German book about his own experiences in the mid-50s, space travels in extraterrestrial flying spaceships, of the German technical draftsman, horse traps, experiences from 1959, as well as Professor João Freitas de Guimarães' experiences with space people. The last titled, My UFO Experience on the Santos Coast. Flight in Extraterrestrial Object, People from the Other Star Invited to Space Travel. 48-year-old Professor João de Freitas Guimarães is a respected scholar at the Catholic University in the Brazilian coffee city of Santos, but the story reported by the Professor of Rights today is so fantastic that no one wants to believe it. Dean of the university commented on the professor's narrative with the statement, "Everyone can keep his mind on what he wants, but I do not believe that Professor Guimarães is a liar, nor is he still suffering from hallucinations or a mental illness." Professor Guimarães was silent about his experience for a whole year because he knew none would believe this story. He finally trusted a friend, and so the adventure came to the public's attention. The professor claims, "I flew through the world space in a flying saucer with a foreign star's inhabitants. Last summer, 1956. Professor Guimarães was walking along the beach of São Sebastião, when suddenly a 20-meter-wide and 6-meter-high flying saucer landed in front of him. The spacecraft had two men with blonde hair, green eyes, and yellow shoes about 2 meters tall. The professor tried to communicate with them in English, French, Spanish and Italian, but the strangers did not understand his language. The saucer people," the professor reported, "then attempted a telepathic connection. You sent on my wavelength." The professor was invited on a flight, and he boarded the flying disc, and telepathically again, the astronauts soon told the professor they had left the Earth's atmosphere, and an hour later the saucer landed once again, just on the beach of São Sebastião, and politely bowing, people from another star dismissed the professor, and seconds later the flying disc disappeared from sight. Professor Guimarães, who also reported his adventure on Brazilian television, has not had a quiet minute since. Thousands of inquiries have reached him and he has had to put up with malicious remarks from many people. From paper UN 17, January 1958. Hannah Aranziger from 21.9. 1957. More on this. Headline, Brazilian Contact with UFO. The Memorable Factual Report by Professor Guimarães, Jurist in Santos, in TV, Brazil. On the evening of August 27, 1957, Professor João de Freitas Guimarães had a report from his flight in a flying saucer over the television. Professor Guimarães said that he had gone to São Sebastião because he was a lawyer in military service and had been due there. Since the court was already closed, he went to eat and then went for a walk to the beach. He does not remember exactly what time, but believes that it was 7.10 or 7.15 in the evening, in May of the year 1956. The sky was overcast and grey, there was no moon. Since he did not find a bank, he sat down in the sand, his arms thrashing on his knees, looked out at the sea, which was already dark. Suddenly he noticed that it was getting lighter on the water, in the strip between the island Bela and São Sebastião. Then a jet of water shot up like a gargoyle, so that he believed a whale nearby. Soon after, he saw that there was a pot-shaped machine that was moved to the beach. Once there, it threw a landing ring with small balls. He was particularly struck by this. Two men jumped out of the machine and walked towards him. Picture texts. Map below of the island Bela and São Sebastião. The strait out to the island is about 2 km wide. Picture of the city from that time period. They looked like human beings, at least that's how it seemed to him. He confesses that he was restless. He stood up and, although he was seized with great tension, did not want to run away. Now he could see exactly that he was dealing with two tall people, about 1.75 to 1.80 meters tall, with long, light hair, clear skin, and faint eyebrows. They wore one-piece green suits, closed to the neck and also on the wrists and ankles. Their eyes were clear and calm. The professor asked them if they had any damage to the machine or whether they were looking for someone. But he got no answer. Then he tried to speak French, English and Italian with them, but again without result. Then suddenly he had the feeling that he was invited to visit the machine. He cannot say how he came up with it, but he understood it that way. In any case, it seemed to him that they were among themselves, telepathically informed. He added that he was not a scientist, he did not know these things, people, but he was nevertheless convinced that they used telepathy, though he later remarked that they could communicate with articulate language. He himself had never been interested in flying saucers. For lack of time, he knew nothing of them. And yet it seemed to him that this machine was such one of those strange aircrafts. Still feeling the invitation, he was filled with the irresistible desire to look how it looked inside. Already one of them went to the machine and turned his back to Gimaras. Now he followed without hesitation, accompanied by the second, so that he went between the two. The first one reached the lower part of the machine and went on board, taking on a kind of ladder with hold of only one hand. Dr. Gimaras needed both hands. Dr. Gimaras could now see that there was still a third inmate inside who had been there all the time. When the second, who had gone behind him, came on board, the landing stage, which became previously pulled out, was retracted and the door closed. The professor said he was in telepathic connection. He remained a part of the machine, but he could see that there were others as well. As the machine climbed, he noticed there was water on the hatches as if it were raining. He asked, "Is it raining?" Then he telepathically received an answer from one of the men on the questioner's "No." Around the machine ran a jet filter tube, which created a semi-vacuum in each part. Through the hatch, Gimaras saw above the earth a deep dark zone where the stars were extraordinarily clearly slash visible. In the alternating dark areas, the stars had as through a special shine. Later they crossed a violet layer, later another one. In the first he felt the machine fly back and forth. This made him nervous, when he also got the telepathic information. "The machine has just left the atmosphere of your planet." During the flight, he asked the inmates where they were from, but he did not receive an answer. He knows not why they did not want to say so. When he knew that they was already outside of the Earth's atmosphere, he was both amazed and terrified. At the entrance he had noticed a round instrument, on which three highly sensitive and constantly trembling displays slash fingers moved. At the moment of leaving the earthly atmosphere, they stopped vibrating. Later, Gimaras was from one of the member of the crew told that the machine was navigated by registering the intersecting magnetic force lines. The passing space bodies, differently colored, and the fast-moving clouds, iridescent in all the colors of the rainbow, offered him indescribable spectacle. At the return he noticed that his watch had stopped. That's why he could not know or exactly indicate how long the flight took, but he estimates it to be 30 to 40 minutes. He then left into the hotel and felt inclined to tell his extraordinary experience to all people, but initially kept it to himself. It seemed to him that the crews of these aircraft were probably carrying out investigations on our Earth, and he had the impression that they were urgently warning us of the dangers that threatened humanity. This was in -56. In the opinion of Professor Gimaras, the Earthlings behaved like wild animals. Men could be born well, but according to the present Earth conditions they degenerate. There are scientific experiments that without the necessary care, and the criminal use of the atomic power, do increase the ionization of the Earth. Moreover, it causes the shattering of layers in our atmosphere's filtering of dangerous rays. If in the future, we make no more care in dealing with these terrible means, and such used, we will all be under the consequences of these explosions, as our own suffering. What happened since then? Again the professor explained that the event itself took place about 14 months ago, 1956, and that he first of all, with the exception of his wife, had never talked to anyone about it. About 6 months later however, he did have the theme of the flying saucers mentioned to a judge in Sao Paulo, Dr. Alberto Franco, and speaking as well to an old lawyer there, Dr. Nilsson. During a meal in the Association of Lawyers, He saw an aluminium pan and made a joke about flying saucers. His colleagues suspected that he must know something about it, after so much had been talked about it recently. Later, Gimeras recounted the experience to his friend Dr. Lincoln Feliciano. This, of course, rushed the story and it was handed to that acquaintance, and the article then aroused much attention. Since then, Professor Gimeras had no more peace. By all means one sought to get hold of him. Although most visitors were friendly, it was not possible for him to explain exactly what he saw. If f.x. someone is on a strange journey for the first time in a machine powered by compressed air and should later describe it to others, who have no idea of the principle, he could not do it, repeated correctly understood either. Professor Gimeras further stated that he was by no means the first terrestrial man to be flown in such a machine. He said that since his flight, he had read a whole series of works on the subject, in which detailed experiences, similar to his, was described. Asked if he had felt bad during the flight, he replied that he had not felt very well as the machine departed and landed again. He would have pain and cold in his poor legs, but he attributed this to his nervous tension. He further stated that another meeting with the crew of the machine had been planned for the 12th of August 1957. Asked how one would have agreed to arrange this date, explained Gimeras that during the flight from the crew, a zodiac had been shown to him in which one turn a year, and a multiple repeat of the eighth sign meant that month August. On questions about what prevented him from keeping the appointment, he said it was not possible for him. A whole group of people had wanted to attend the interview and would have caused a sensation. Besides, he'd lost almost all of his friends by now, and a fab official would have asked him not to take the appointment. He said that their Luftwaffe Air Force was also responsible for the jet planes planned for prosecution, that would have serious incidents as a result, if only one of these machines came in contact with the saucer. Figure 5a. Professor João de Freitas Gimeras demonstrates the event on the beach of São Sebastião, as well was reported in many daily newspapers of the country when he gave explanations to numerous reporters. Figure 5b. His sketch of the UFO with which he flew. The discus with the three doors of the magnetic field. Below, are, floor plan of the round bench in the cabin and the circular movement, top, of the central shaft. Figure 5c. Further sketches of the flying object by Professor Freitas. Diameter 20 meters, height 8 meters. Figure 5d. Sketches showing the details of the functioning of the resistance of landing balls, 1, after the professor's assumption during the flight, with the command cabin, 4, and the antenna, 5, portholes, 3, and tube, 6, for movement in the atmosphere, which filters the rays. Figure 5v. Major Paulo Salimar and Squadron Commander Cid Vieira do Amida Spedv, Bull. 21, of the Brazilian Air Force Base Bocano at the site visit on the beach. Figure 6 a UFO shot by Hawke at Alto da Boa Vista, Rio de Janeiro District, July 27, 1958. The same in vivid red paint, O Crew 0, August 16, 1958, seen by attorney Dr. Nilo Alves de Moraes. It was of a dark grey color and showed with the Fainias seen right sketch additional circles, as if shaped by a propeller. Figure 7a. Enlargement of the Trinidad UFO, which was important because of the similarity to the object of Professor Freitas, who was invited on board the ship Almirante Soldna de Gama, from which 8 images of the UFO by the onboard photographer Armiro Brauna C. Spedv, Bull. 16. Figure 7b. Sketches of 4 different phases of the UFO in flight upper Trinidad by Professor Freitas Gimeras, by courtesy in the Morgine Post, Rio, the 21st of February 1958, and in the Abendblatt, São Paulo, February 21, 1958, 1. Issue, appeared. Figure 8. Comparative study with 3 flying saucers, A equals Hay Upper Boa Vista, B equals Trinidad UFO. C equals Discus by São Sebastião. With kind permission of Professor Freitas de Gimeras, You can do that find superficial similarity of types A and B with that of Professor C, by comparison. Professor João de Freitas Guimarães on UN number 17, January 1958, we published the sensational message, Flight in Extraterrestrial Object. The then 48-year-old law scholar Professor Guimarães from the University of Santos. Here we publish a non-routine interview between Dr. Engineer Walter Buller, who informed the participants of the 5 International Conference of Friends of UFO Research, May 1963, in the Kurfürstel Castle in Mainz is known, CUN 83, July 1963, and Professor Guimarães. This authentic report confirms the experience with important details from the mouth of the contact. Dr. Walter Buller, São Paulo, Brazil, June 25, 1961. Question 1. In flying saucers a variety of forms seem to exist. Is it possible that the one form or another is identical to the one you encountered in the Bay of São Sebastião? Answer. Yes, I know that the flying saucer flying over the island of Trinidad from the photographer Armiro Bruno was recorded, identical to the one described by me. I saw that when I was invited by Dr. Vancum aboard the training ship Amarantis Aldana de Gama. I've been on the ship for 4 hours, in the present day. Vancum showed me 6 photographs showing the course of this flying saucer. It showed the photograph of a UFO taken in a district of Alto de Boa Vista as published in Rio de Janeiro and also published by O Cruzeiro on August 16, 1958. Identical in shape to the UFO I met in 1956 in the Bay of São Sebastião. On the 12th of August 1957, another contact with the crew of a UFO was arranged, and this event became known to the public 3 weeks before. I also made a drawing about the UFO I met a year earlier. When I also made a drawing for the Brazilian Air Force, I was told that similar were in their files. A UFO image that was formerly identical to mine. It was also meant to me, I should not go to the meeting I planned with this UFO, because the Brazilian Air Force, Luftwaffe would have ordered 2 squadrons of fighters back. All this was communicated to me in the presence of a civil servant, a public notary, from the Block 5 of the city of Santos, a man named Dr. Gabriel Alco, and his brother and my own son. Nevertheless, I made the decision not to go to the meeting because the day before mother of my father-in-law was dying, and so was myself tired of the day and night interviews with reporters all over the country, yes, was completely exhausted. Besides, I knew that a great crowd would flow to the meeting place, and I also knew that this UFO had been in São Sebastião in the Bay of Paracuba and these people gave testimony on television. The TV station Tupi also mentioned the names of other people who were present. It was even a tape recording of the telephone conversation on the Radio Cultura of São Paulo to TV station Tupi. When he visited the latter with this tape recording, he refused to give everything as you had previously supposed. Question 2. What you have told me now, why did not you say all this to the press or why did you not publish it yourself? Answer. I actually told a limited number of people, but I have it not published, because I found indifferent in many, on unbelief in almost all. I came to the conclusion that only a few were worth investigating, though it was of the utmost importance to me. It was announced that whenever I write something, I would only do so to get known, or to pursue political goals. Therefore I wrote nothing. Besides, the press tried to twist the facts, to blame others I never had mentioned, all this with the intention of attacking and ridiculing me, to confuse the public opinion, and just when the latter had a right to hear the clear facts. As far as the reality of the facts is concerned, these should be given to people without distortions, without interference of occult or incomprehensible motives said to be a correct assess, otherwise it will be very difficult, but not in our country, Brazil is unknown. I ask why. Why not publish the photographs of the UFOs that are in the register of the Brazilian Air Force, as reported by Colonel Coqueiro? This publication thus gives the character of a collection of known flying saucers. What hurts me most are those people I thought were civilized, but which were incapable neither to admit a fact nor to discuss their possibility of how to do, so we would have to accept a first researcher. That means the learned belief of these people against the reality of facts, ended in a stupid laughter. Question 3. Is there any resemblance in the description of the cosmos that Gagarin and you give? Answer. There is a full agreement between Gagarin's description and mine, which I gave 4 years ago, that you can confirm with the descriptions the cosmonauts of the press on April 14, 1961, first edit, Folha de São Paulo. Compare the given description or explanations in the newspapers, later in the new Deo Ubaldino de Metafísica in Minismo published at Christmas 1959. If someone is very far away from the Earth, then it is impossible to tell where the Sun is, because even near the Earth the Sun is orange. At about 200 kilometers away, it seems to be golden, looks at much longer distances. You no longer know the colors of the sunlight, you do not know where it is and how it looks after. Our Sun used to be such a soothing feeling of a good mate for every wanderer who left our Earth. UN 100, December 1964. Next is a short introduction about an involuntary journey onto the planet Achart, which Arthur Blot experienced in 1958, onto this overpopulated planet, from which the Earth in the cosmic evolution is only slightly ahead. Arthur's book, Im Raumschiff von Planet zu Planet, or translated as In Spacecraft from Planet to Planet, 8-Day Planet Journey in 1958. Mr. and Mrs. Blot, born Kaiser, have in Sarandia Photoshop with a studio. His grandfather's name was Johann Blot. His father was born in Thalita near Korbach, west of Kassel, in 1879, emigrated with his parents to Brazil in 1885 as a six-year-old. Therefore it is the North Hessian dialect or tone in his heard and learned colonist German. We now hear excerpts from his experience with the theme, 8-Day Planet 1958 inches. His planetary friends testified to his special interest in Germany and the German language, because he could talk the Portuguese-Brazilian language significantly better than the German. His experience report was subsequent questions and responses given in Portuguese, and by two ladies, Mrs. Buckbear, translating his book, and Mrs. M. Feder, interpreting. Because in the work that came out to the Congress, via Im Raumschiff von Planet zu Planet, In Spaceship from Planet to Planet, all is in the book. A lot of details, and here is some ideas. Read and study information in peace. In 30 chapters we learn how to associate with him in a remote area near his hometown. There are a mysterious landed flying object and he went to see what it was. But a ray of light of the craft passed out, he lost consciousness and was in this way UFO kidnapped. Here is a quick selection of the chapter headings of his fantastic experiences illustrated by drawings, maps and photos. Dramatic awakening, overcoming of language difficulties, explanation of the incident, one friendly family, comparing the two planets, a city at night, government decision, visit to the farmland, a city in the mountains, Sunsteel factory, like a spaceship arises, the planet without money, very first conversation, other jurisdiction, travel back to Earth, farewell, the return flight, look into space, landing on our Earth back on the mainland, German contactor, contact person, at the Deuist headquarters in Wiesbaden 1972. Like many other contactors, Horse Traps was faced with the problem after the decisive moment of his experiences in 1959. How should I ever make them clear to my fellow human beings or an authority without suspecting paranoia, Geist Esterung? His conflict lay in the impracticable task of his planetary friends, the experience of his Mitborgern and the warning to announce the atomic science. After Horse Traps had come, after years of waiting in detours, to the headquarters of the German UFO Study Society, had he immediately felt that he had finally landed in the right place. During some informative discussions, his first stepping out was the announcement of his experiences for the 10th Intercontinental International Congress of UFO Researchers in Wiesbaden 1972 inches. Mrs. K. Metzner wrote us at this time, "I've known Mr. Raps for so many years now, he had to remain silent during this time. We could not tell other people, you would have laughed at him. But I know that his experience is true, because it happens more between heaven and earth than we know." Here was the spaceship in 1959 three times at L, landed. The photo shows the total topographical change of the area from the years 1973, as today's many trees since 1959. Then was here a large open forest area of many hundred meters square. Headline, Horse Traps. Spaceflight to distant planetary areas. Mr. Raps was born on February 13, 1929, as the son of the former school rector of Gumpertsreuth, Bavaria, and his wife, the daughter of a graduate engineer in the company of Zeiss, Jena. His youth spent in Jena, in 1948. At the age of 19, joined a well-friendly family in L, where he has been living for 25 years. Design draftsman Horat Raps. At the time of the following results I was 26 years old. Because of a recent pneumonia, the doctor had prescribed me a frequent stay in the fresh air, so I often went for walks. During the after-dinner walk, the biggest surprise of my life, took place. 1. Experience. First meeting with a foreign spaceship. It was on March 29, 1959. I was back on my evening walk. Not far from my place of residence is a forest area in which there is a clearing. I often stayed at this place because I liked it very much. I noticed that evening at about 8 p.m., when I had passed the last houses of my place of residence behind me, a light above me about 1,000 meters high. It had the shape of an ellipse and changed in quick succession, the light color, orange, phosphorus green, turning to white, then blue-white. In the first moment, I meant to see a meteor. But the constant enlargement of this object soon gave me to understand that this could not be a meteor. This object did not pull down the sloping path in the sky, but made several curves, until it stood still again. I became curious, with mixed feelings, between curiosity and uncertainty. I went in that direction in a swift run, into the direction I suspected this thing to be landed. To my surprise, I found this thing close to my often visited grove, there it had to be located. When I was about 30 meters from this place, I heard a soft low humming sound that reminded me of the humming of the telegraph wires, remembered in a frosty night. With a pounding heart and a heavy feeling, filled with excitement, I continued to follow this humming sound. My footsteps grew heavier, I felt as I had lead on my feet. I even felt a bit weak in my knees. That's what I felt, but did not know what it was. I instinctively sensed that something had happened here that was not commonplace occurrences. About 10 meters away, I saw a bright bluish or purple iridescent object about 80 to 100 centimeters above the ground, as it seemed to float, if I am to describe it correctly. I must say, it stood on upbundled rays. After a while, this object went down even further, until it was about 20 to 30 centimeters above the ground. The play of colors stopped. Only white beams could be seen. Next headline. Conversation with the pilot. I do not know how long I stood there before a door opened on both sides and one stepped ladder was extended. In the doorway appeared a tall figure, slim and absolutely similar to us humans. This figure wore a combination like clothes that shimmered like rainbow. To my astonishment, I could hear this figure speaking German language. I went closer. At the same moment, the figure also descended from the ladder. Words, "Excuse me, my friend, when I speak to you." Of course, they must have planned this meeting, and learned some of the language, which they have normally recorded in advance from local radio and television broadcasters, or that they use advanced translation devices as apparently used in the ITI by Iraq contact, which happened a few years later in India and Peru, and which we have also now developed here on Earth. Or as here, they use teleparty, Earth. My excitement grew bigger, almost unbearable. I said to that sir, "Why do you speak my language? You are certainly not from here." That prove the whole situation. He answered, I give you my thoughts and you mine, it's like a ray of light. You call it mind,